and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
I'll never forget that day and that time. After all those years of living in the wilderness, after eating manna for every single meal of every single day, after hearing the stories of what had been done for our people as we were leaving slavery and being led by God across the Red Sea, as we were led by God through the wilderness and followed the great prophet Moses to Mount Sinai, where we received the law and the covenant, for that to all come together to this place and this time and this moment where we, the people of God, are camped on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. We've been told that 3 days ago that we will be crossing the Jordan River today. And last night we worked to purify ourselves, to be purified and holy before God for this moment. We've been encouraged by words of be strong, courageous, resolute in what we're doing. We've been encouraged to follow the Lord because He is going to lead us to a new place that we've never been before. We've been led to this moment, to this place. And then it happened. The priest picked up the Ark of the Covenant, and they walked into the waters, the flooded waters of the Jordan River. And as the soles of their feet touched the water began to pile back. We watched as it went farther and farther beyond anything that we could see. And what lay before us was a dry riverbed, the place where we could cross. And immediately, the call went out throughout the camp. The call went out for us to go across to Abar. In that moment, I remembered looking out to the west and realizing how significant it is for our people to travel to the west. You see, traveling to the west is traveling to what's next, is traveling to the future, is traveling forward to the possibilities before us. And this call, Abar, that rings out. I thought, how beautiful. Back in the time of the crossing of the Reed Sea and the living in the wilderness, the call was always to Nasa. Nasa, set out, go onward. Nasa, across the Red Sea. Nasa, across the wilderness. Be led, go forward. And now the call is Abar. The call is to come, to arrive. And it's the call of God that says, I'm bringing you into a new life. I'm bringing you into the next level of relationship with me and with the land. I'm bringing you into the next level of relationship with me and one another. And all along, as we looked out, as we began to cross the Jordan River, we looked and we could see the Ark of the Covenant a kilometer away, the sign and presence of God standing in the river, holding the waters back, leading us to new life and a new way of living. As we crossed the waters, as I stood on the western banks, With my wife and my children gathered around me, I began to notice something beautiful. It was Joshua walking through the camp. And as he walked through the camp, he would stop and he would talk to a man. And then that man would walk out into the dry riverbed and begin to walk towards the ark. Towards the ark. I watched Joshua throughout all the crowds and I began to count the men who were called to go to the ark. 8, 9, 10, 11. And then, there before me stood Joshua. He looked me in the eyes and he said, "Go. Represent your tribe. Go and take a stone from the river bank, put it on your shoulder, and bring it back to our camp." In that moment, I wondered, why me? Joshua, why choose me? But that moment only lasted for just a brief thought, because I was so excited to be the one representing my people. I don't really even fully remember if I ran or if I walked, how I traveled, but I know that I entered that dry riverbed and I set out on that journey towards the ark. I saw the men who were farther along than I was. And as I got close to the ark, close to the presence of God, I was overwhelmed. Nothing in my life would prepare me for this moment of truly encountering God. I felt tears running down my cheeks, and I felt the biggest smile my face had ever had. I felt like dancing and cheering and laughing. And I felt so overwhelmed that I just knelt. I just knelt before the Lord, wondering why I was blessed in this way, why I would be chosen to represent my people, to come this close to God. I remember as I knelt there that I so wished that my wife could be there with me, that my children could be right there in the presence of God like that with me. In fact, I wished that everybody standing along the bank that was looking at me at that moment was right there kneeling beside me in this holy moment, presence of God. I noticed out of my side view that Joshua was building an altar of stones right there where the priests were standing. All the rest of the men had already picked up their stone and headed back to camp, and I just wanted to stay right there. I didn't want to move, but I knew that I needed to. And as I realized that I needed to do that, I looked down, and right under my knees, there was a stone. Even in following God down on my knees, in His holy presence, He had provided the stone that He wanted me to carry. And so I got up. It was a rather large stone. I knew that the joy of the Lord needed to be my strength if I was going to make it back to camp with that stone. I put it on my shoulder and I began to traverse that 0.6 mile, that kilometer back to camp. I think Joshua helped me a little bit along the way. When I got to the bank, I laid down my stone next to the 11 others. And then Joshua turned to the priests who had been obediently, faithfully standing in the waters of the river on the dry land as God had dried it up. And he said, "Come out of the water. Come out of the river." And as the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant out of the river, as the soles of their feet touched the bank where we were standing, the waters immediately returned at flood level once again.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
The ark went out in front of us and led us for the rest of that day to a place called Gilgal. And when we arrived at Gilgal, Joshua took those stones and set them carefully on top of one another to make an altar 12 stones high. And he said to all the people, all of us gathered in that space, here is what you say to your children when they ask, what do these stones mean? Say to them, here is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan River on dry land. And it was the Lord our God, Yahweh God, who stopped the waters and allowed us to cross, just as Yahweh God had stopped the waters of the Red Sea so that we could be delivered from slavery. And tell your children and tell their grandchildren that the Lord did this so that all people of all nations would know his might and his strength and his power, so that they might fear him, they might be in awe of him, they might respect him, and they might long to follow him. And when Joshua stepped away, I saw the altar. In all of the glory of God, right there, this altar stood. And I realized that like never before, all 12 of our tribes were brought into one unified structure. That we were together in this. That God had created a people that were called to be united with one another. And I also realized as I looked at that altar that my wife, that my children could walk up and touch it and experience that stone that I had carried to the side of the bank, that they could experience that holy moment that I had experienced and wanted them to be a part of. God had brought us across the dry river and defined us as a united people for the world, for his glory, so that his might be made known. You know, I wonder if that guy ever got tired of telling that story. I wonder if later in life he has grandkids that are going, Grandpa, Grandpa, tell us the story again about when you got the rock out of the river. Or will it be more one of those, hey, have I ever told you the story about when I got the rock out of the river? And they all go, yes, we've heard the story, but please tell us again. A story that defined his life and his people forever as they followed God into what was next for them. I wonder, what's our story going to be like in this season? As we cross through this time together, are your days filled more with moments where you're regretting what's been taken away from you or what's absent in your life or what somebody's forcing you to do that you don't want to do? Or are your days filled with holy moments, moments where you're striving for and listening to God and being called to a place that you've never gone before so that you're kneeling in his presence, not truly knowing what is to come in the future? What's your story going to be like? Filled with holy moments? And as we cross through this time, who are we going to be as a people on the other side? Are we going to simply be a people that really wishes we could go back to Egypt because it was more comfortable and more familiar? Are we just going to be freed slaves, just one bad decision from slavery once again? Are we going to be a people that has been matured in wilderness times? Are we going to be a people united for the glory of God, defined by him? And what altar will we raise to remind the generations to come? Will our altars be full of holes or full of unity? Will our altars be full of loss or will our altars be full of gain? Will our altars be filled with more brokenness than we had before this season? Or will our altars be filled with life that only God can lead us towards? What are the holy moments that are taking place in your life right now? And how are you bringing them in to your family, to your church, to your community, so that together we might be defined? I think of this racial divide that we seem to be trying to cross once again, and I wonder if the altar that will be built will be an altar full of stones where we have set aside our biases and prejudices towards one another. Will it be an altar constructed of social injustices addressed and reforms taking place? Will our tribes and our branches be more united in Christ than when we went into this time together? Or will we be more broken and shattered than ever before? What's your holy moment? What are you going to tell your kids? What are they going to hear? In the last few weeks, I've had a really profound holy moment. God really took me into a time of seeking and introspection. And the question that I truly had on my mind was, is this the season where God is moving me out of a pastoral role? That's not a question of, am I leaving Kingwood and going to another church? The question is God moving me out of this role as a pastor, out into a world of people who are fighting and living into new truths and trying to create another future? I remember during this season, just like that man that I lifted up before, that I found myself literally and figuratively and emotionally and psychologically on my knees before God going, God, what do you want me to do? God, in this season, where do you best want to use me? What do you want my story to be for your glory? And then he showed me. He showed me how Kingwood United Methodist Church was being used in the fight against human trafficking. And how people in the Houston area, the greater Houston area in Harris County, are recognizing our involvement in that fight. He showed me how we were being used to help foster children and how that people again around the city were recognizing what God was doing through Kingwood United Methodist Church alongside other churches. God began to ask me and send people to me who were asking questions of, Chris, what are we going to do about these racial issues that seem to want to pull us apart? What are we doing about them as a church? And I began to be able to list one after other things that we were truly doing in the life of the church that were adding value and justice and seeking redemption and restoration and hope for all people. And the rock that I kneeled upon, the stone that I found my knees upon, was God saying to me, Chris, the answer to these problems is the church. The solution is that those who are purchased by the blood of Christ, those of us who are united by his blood and by his grace and by his love, we are the answers. And all of these groups out in the Houston area, they know the church is the answer. God said, Chris, you're already in the middle of what I'm trying to rise up. So instead of worrying about whether I'm moving you, hear the call to raise the church up. Rise up. Rise up to fight these injustices. Rise up to refill that warehouse in Haiti for hungry children. Rise up so that all children will have a loving home forever. Rise up so that people are no longer held back by prejudices. And rise up so that people are no longer sold as commodities. Rise up. And Chris, use your voice, use your story, use your altar, use your family, use your moment, use your community to help God's kingdom come more fully on earth than it ever has been before. Help the church to rise up. Church, we're traveling west. We're traveling towards what's next. We're traveling into the future, and we have the option of whether we follow God into that future or whether we continue to do our own thing. We are being called to a bar, to arrive, to come into, to be a part of what God has always crafted us and wants us to be. God wants us to experience holy moments and worship and in service and in prayer and in study and in silence and in praise and to take those holy moments into the rest of our life and into our community and everything to do to define us in new ways, bold ways, ways where the church will once again not only be relevant but be transformative in the world around us. Rise up, church. And what is the altar that God wants to build? What's the story that God wants to tell from generation to generation? I think it sounds like this. Here is where the church crossed over to greater unity and love and hope and power. Here's where the Lord dried up all of those old impediments and traditions and things that wanted to hamper us and get in our way. Because he wants to offer freedom to the world. Just as he did that same work on the cross and the empty tomb through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as this work is done, through this work, God wants to show the world that these answers are found through him. It is his might, not our own, that we will be able to become the people, the community, the church that he has crafted and honed and longed for us to be. Rise up, church, so that all may be drawn to his glory, so that all may be drawn to his love, so that all may be drawn to him. May God's kingdom come. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By the grace of God, may it be so.